Sex, porn, love addiction is all about self-soothing to manage your emotions. It got set up back in the childhood development years. It's just not about sex, it's not about porn. It's all about the repeated use has set up the physiology to crave those dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, self-manufactured drugs in the body. It's impacting women, men, children aged 10 to 75 across all the age ranges, the sexes, the cultures, the professions. It increased exponentially during COVID lockdown and impacting so many lives. The Kairos Center has created the first online comprehensive sex, porn, love addiction. It's a video on demand recovery program which you can access from anywhere in the world and begin to see identifiable changes just within 6 weeks of beginning this weekly program. Kairos means your appointed time. Isn't it your time to reclaim your life? Bring color back to life without shame. Click the link below and begin your journey. You owe it to yourself and to others.
But women need to know about themselves. I've already gone over part of it, but early sexual arousal raises females' sociosexuality. These girls that find themselves attracted to pornography and probably wouldn't have been in the past, if they've had a sexual, you know, experience as a young girl, and a lot of it may be abuse of some type, something that they didn't choose themselves, but they were sexually aroused, makes them more vulnerable to that. The other, and this is a huge take home here, this next thing I'm going to say is very, very big, and most people don't understand or realize it, but alcohol consumption raises women's testosterone levels. Now, it raises both sexes' testosterone levels up to a point. If generally the young men are drinking so much that it actually raises it to begin with and then lowers it because they overdrink the limit. Doesn't seem to have any dose requirement as far as raising women's testosterone levels. And so so it raises their testosterone level. They're not used to it. They're not used to the effects of higher testosterone. And so a girl, young woman, can really become a different animal, so to speak, with, you know, while they're drinking, as far as sex goes. Now, sex drive and sociosexuality, especially if she's naturally cycling, if she's not on any kind of birth control, hormonal birth control, and so her cycle is natural, and she's anywhere near her ovulatory window, which is that, you know, day 8 through about day 14. During that time period, if she's drinking, she may be, again, a whole different person, somewhere on the same level with a high testosterone male. And again, I think this is known by the fraternities and that type of thing on the college campuses, and that's why alcohol is such a feature, you know, in all these parties and that type of thing. Even if she's not drinking, that fertile window, the ovulatory window, whatever you want to call it, so if her period starts is day 1. Let's say days 5 it ends, and then 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. That 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 is the time she's going to have that much higher sex drive than she would normally. And women need to understand this and know this about themselves and realize that, again, it's all subconscious or unconscious, however you want to express it. They may not realize why they're doing the way that things the way they do them. Anyway, they dress more provocatively, as research has shown. They are more flirtatious, all of these different things. Again, a lot of it is not, they're not self-aware of it. All right. Females are much more vulnerable to all the bad things. And again, that's why, again, this whole feminism has been really hurt, I think, women in so many ways, because it's taken them out of this natural place they've had of being honored as the sex that you want to respect, treat them with deference. They've got something you want as a young man, and you're gonna have to marry him to get it. And again, all of it kind of works in that direction. Also, you're probably gonna get married sooner if you can't get it otherwise, a younger age, and that's a positive, as we're going to see here in just a second. But females' anatomy makes them much more vulnerable to STIs. The vagina has thinner skin. It's easier to penetrate by viruses and bacteria than the penis. The vagina's moist and warm environment lends itself to all kinds of bacterial growth. witness yeast infections that women get and men almost never get. When they do get an STI, oftentimes it's asymptomatic. And so they get pelvic inflammatory disorder, which turns them, many of them, infertile, PID, they call it. Women on average have 8 times higher HIV risk and then 4 times higher gonorrhea risk. The risk really, really goes up for HIV, though, if anal sex is practiced for either sex, but especially for women, because they have the choice of vaginal or anal sex. It goes up, HIV risk goes up 17 times with anal sex. That's something almost nobody knows either. Now, here's a real kicker for y'all. Young women's sexual behavior during these years affects their future health. You know, and this particularly isn't what got me into this. It was the effect of their health on their babies. But this really spoke to me when I first learned this. If they begin their menstruation early, it raises their risk of uterine cancer. So all these female reproductive cancers are influenced by this. And this probably isn't her fault, but our society's situation where we've allowed this divorce at the rate we have, the situation where there's so many of our kids coming up in households where it's just the mom, or a boyfriend or stepdad. What they found in the research is that an unrelated male in the household has a tendency to start her menstruation earlier. And that, again, causes problems down the road for her as far as risk of cancer. So as a society, if we could do something about that, that would help them, these innocent girls that would be healthier right off the bat if they have a mom and a dad, biologically their parents, in the situation. Early promiscuity leads to higher chances of vaginal and cervical cancer. So again, early hooking up leads to much higher chances of vaginal and cervical cancer. This is where it really gets interesting. None or minimal numbers of pregnancies and none or minimal breastfeeding raises the lifetime chances of developing ovarian and uterine cancer. And a lot of times ovarian is fatal, as you probably know. So the old school picture of, because they're not having sex until they're married and, you know, they're romantic, you know, again, they've got the hormones fully in place by 17 or 18 and they're getting married maybe at 19, 20, 21, 22. And the female's peak fertility is age 19 to 29. And the males is 24 to 26. They're hitting that peak fertility time period by being married and starting to have children, having before, you know, hormonal birth control, and even, you know, before condoms, which was 1845 is when the condom was patented. So back most of our years, that process of getting married younger, starting having children younger, having more children, breastfeeding them, all of that's protective for a female's reproductive cancer chances.